Since we wrote our first book, we've talked to hundreds of elite and recreational athletes from all over the country. And what we've seen is a tremendous shift in awareness about mental training and sports psychology. In the early 1980s, we spent hours and hours explaining to athletes and teams the importance of mental training techniques and skills, and today they take that for granted. Now they want to know how to improve and what to do about their competitive or winning edge. In the 1990s, that competitive edge is mental, and a legal competitive edge at that. In two athletes of equal or often unequal ability, the athlete with the mental edge most often emerges as the winner. The good news is that these skills are simple and fairly easy to learn. The rest of the news is that mental training takes a commitment to train one's mind with the same dedication as one trains the body. Daily mental practice prepares the athlete for all possibilities and helps him or her cope positively with the unexpected, rather than being psyched out. Most sports psychologists in the U.S. use some variation of a five-step approach: mental log keeping, goal setting, positive self-talk or affirmations, relaxation, and visualization or mental rehearsal. And we found that by using these skills, the athlete can create a positive mental state before, during, and after competition. By using mental training, the athlete creates more personal control over what happens in their competition. The athlete is not only ready physically, he or she is mentally tough and ready, completely prepared in mind, body, and spirit. Many of the elite athletes that we interviewed before the 1984 Olympics said that they used various types of mental training techniques for years. And generally, they use positive self-talk and relaxation and visualization. And they always had goals for the season, and sometimes for periods of up to 4 years ahead. Most of them had done so instinctively, and oftentimes they never even discussed it with other people. They simply assumed that everyone did it, and most athletes do. As athletes began to work with sports psychologists, they learned to use their mental powers in more positive and powerful ways, and they improved significantly. The mental side of athletics is this exciting new area, and athletes are really enjoying it. It's something new and different, and it's something to be explored, and they can see it and feel it working. In the 1990s, we will see great strides in acceptance in sports psychology. We've already seen and heard the talk of sports commentators during the 1980s Olympics. And with each passing year, commentators are talking more and more about athletes working on their mental edges and what they might be doing to mentally prepare and to psych themselves up. Athletes are now ready for new ideas that will help them to be the best that they can be. And we want to make sure that you, as a user of these tapes, know that this mental training program is an educational process. It's not meant to cure any deep psychological blocks or problems. If such problems exist, they really need to be worked on with the help of a trained professional therapist. Many deep-seated psychological issues may be responsible for poor performance. And this program can assist in helping the athlete approach competition with a more positive and enthusiastic frame of mind. It's not to be used for curing deep psychological trauma. And another thing to look at is thinking about the fear of losing face in our culture and in athletics. We really have a fear about making mistakes and of being wrong. And these are huge issues for us. And with these issues of perfection and being perfect, we as a people, and athletes in particular, face many difficulties in self-acceptance. and also in pride of achieving, and in the acknowledgement of our successes. Instead, we keep on driving ourselves and upping the bar, instead of patting ourselves on the back and saying, hey, good job, well done. It's okay to believe in ourselves. We don't have to be arrogant. And sometimes it's confusing to athletes, especially younger ones, in realizing the difference between encouraging yourself and being obnoxious and arrogant. And it's my purpose here to create an awareness in you, an awareness of what your processes are, so you can choose to change them if they're not working for you anymore. The purpose of our books is to help supply ways for you to create success and excellence and improvement in your sport and in your life. And I'm going to encourage you to think in terms of opportunities. Opportunities for learning and growth, rather than thinking about failures or blocks or negativity. Yes, it is important to acknowledge and mourn your losses and to feel your feelings and to get them out of your body the best you can and then to go on with life. Learning from your experiences, letting go of your losses, and healing the pain. I've always in my personal life tried to see life as supplying me with opportunities to grow, professionally and personally and emotionally. And at times it's often difficult to see things in that way. Yet I believe that we're here to grow in athletics and in life. And in my work with athletes, I encourage them to use these techniques as tools for discovery, not for escape from reality. These visualizations are based firmly in the process and content of your event, the details of the race or the game or the match. And they're written this way to engage the conscious mind, the mind that we compete with, the mind that serves us during our waking hours. And I believe it's also important to cultivate a state of internal peacefulness, an internal resourcefulness that helps us to respond rather than react. And we as athletes can then respond from a solid core rather than reacting from a turbulent state of being. We're striving to create a state of balance, a balance between heart and mind and body and spirit. So as athletes, we can play with passion and desire and spirit, coming from a great reserve of internal peace and harmony. In our work with athletes, we found that in order to change behavior, athletes must be willing to make change a priority, to be willing to risk, to make a personal commitment, and to take action by doing something different, to take that risk and be willing to lose face, so to speak. And if you decide to take steps to improve your mental edge, priority, willingness, risk, commitment, and action will be extremely important in the achievement of your goals and dreams. A woman named Liz Bradley, who was a member of the 1988 Olympic rowing team, wrote us a letter after the 1988 Olympics about using our methods. And she said, "This is an I made the Olympic team after using your methods letter. Two of us who eventually made the Olympic team went to the seminar that you held at the University of Washington. And the seminar was great because it felt like the two of you were just giving names and recognizable faces to demons that were haunting me. And when I had the names and faces, I could fight them. I bought your first book, The Mental Athlete, and I worked through it. The exercises hit so close to home that it was an effort of my will to make myself even finish many of them. I used your techniques and I adapted some of them according to what worked for me and the advice of my consultant I was working with." And when it came time to perform, the visualized scenarios all played themselves out like a movie I'd been rehearsing. Each time that happened, I became more and more confident of my abilities to alter my performance. And I ended up doing the best rowing of my career and making the team with room to spare. And Liz used these five steps. And of these five steps, the visualization and imagery process is probably the most important. We have the power to create our own reality with the thoughts and the images in our minds. These images and feelings and sounds that we have in our mind's eye have incredible power. Imagining the future or having a dream or a vision for the future increases the possibility of realizing our hopes and dreams. And how we imagine ourselves, our abilities, our acceptability, our intelligence, our worth, ultimately determines who we become, what we do, and what we have, our reality. There's a quote by a famous yogi, and he said, "You have talents and powers that you have not used. You have all the power that you need. There is nothing greater than the power of the mind." And our minds are one of our greatest gifts. We want to assure you in using your mind that these visualization processes are always under the control of the athlete, always under your control. Anything that's said in a guided visualization is in the conscious mind, unless, of course, you go to sleep. But if you stay awake, you always have total control over the visualization process. And even if you're asleep, it's okay. Part of that goes in. You're visualizing in the privacy of your own mind, even when following the content of a pre-designed visualization process. And the reason that this visualization and imagery works is that when you imagine yourself performing flawlessly and doing exactly what you want to do, you're physiologically creating neural patterns in your brain, just as if your body had done the activity. These patterns are like small tracks engraved in the brain cells. And it's been demonstrated that athletes who've never performed a certain routine or move can, after a few weeks of specific visualization practice, perform the move very, very well. And, as in physical practice, mental practice makes perfect too. And it's still important that we also do the physical training. Mental training and visualization practice are meant to train our minds and to create the neural patterns in our brains to help our muscles do exactly what we want them to do with precision and perfection. It's very important that you, as an athlete, continue to visualize achieving your goals and dreams. The positive intent is created. The timeline may be off by a year or two or a month or two sometimes. And sometimes we may not get what we want, but rather what we need for growth. And such times are a reminder of letting go with style and grace and going on to pursue our new dreams. And always remember that your imagination is one of your greatest gifts.